KQED. From KQED News, I'm Stephanie Martin. Jurors in the federal perjury trial of former giant slugger Barry Bonds this afternoon delivered a unanimous guilty verdict for Bonds on one count, obstruction of justice. But the panel of 8 women and 4 men was hung on each of the 3 other counts that Bonds lied to a federal grand jury in 2003. It's a stunning verdict, with baseball's all-time home run king found guilty in a federal court trial, but it's one that caused immediate confusion. Here's how the verdict was announced on ESPN Radio.
And he is guilty of obstruction of justice. The least severe. So all this and nothing?
Well, to be honest with you, I find that absolutely incredible, because if he's not guilty on perjury, how can he be guilty of obstruction of justice?
That second voice was Roger Kosick, a professor of law at Pepperdine University. We're joined now by Professor Andrea Russi, a former federal prosecutor who's on the faculty at UC Berkeley's School of Law. Ms. Russi, explain this to us. How is it that a jury can be so sure that Bonds obstructed justice but can't make up its mind about the perjury charges?
So the obstruction charge here referred to basically the same conduct as the perjury charge, but it also included evasive and misleading testimony. So what one possibility would be that the jury felt that the prosecution had not proved that Bonds lied or committed perjury beyond a reasonable doubt, but that he had acted in some sort of evasive or misleading way that wasn't quite lying.
Do you see this very often?
No, I think this is fairly unusual. Given the obstruction charge is basically based upon the charges for lying to the grand jury, it's surprising to me that he would be convicted of obstruction and not perjury.
So on this one obstruction of justice count, what's the likelihood that Bonds will serve time?
Well, the federal statute he was convicted under allows him to be sentenced for up to 10 years, but I think it's unlikely he would receive that high of a sentence. The sentencing guidelines would recommend 15 to 21 months on the obstruction charge.
Now, prosecutors say they'll decide whether to seek a retrial on the remaining counts as soon as possible. What considerations do they need to take into account before making that decision?
Well, when a case results in a hung jury, both the prosecution and the defense will often have an opportunity to talk to the jurors and to find out what the problem was. So I think that would be a consideration in going forward with a retrial. Also, just whether it's the best use of government resources to try this case again, given they did get a conviction on one of the counts.
When is obstruction of justice typically brought up as a charge, and what are the conditions generally that would cause a jury to convict on that charge?
So obstruction of justice can be brought for any conduct that interferes with a grand jury investigation, so in a case like this. So that conduct can be lying to the grand jury and committing perjury. It can also be things like intimidating a witness or simply being uncooperative or evasive. When the government brings perjury charges, they often also bring an obstruction of justice charge. And as they are in this case, they're usually fairly closely linked. It's the same type of conduct for both charges. But as I said, I think that, you know, the jury could have found Bonds was evasive or uncooperative and not been able to agree that he actually lied or provided false testimony.
And in fact, that's exactly what the jury said afterward.
Which is a little surprising in this case. You know, it's surprising to make the distinction between the two.
That was former federal prosecutor Andrea Russi. She directs the Center for Criminal Justice at UC Berkeley School of Law. I'm Stephanie Martin. More news online at kqednews.org.